All right, Bobby. Glad you made the top 40 back in 1965, I should say. This is, we're about to play our part of our post-industrial places project, Stories of the Deindustrialized Baltimore. This is part three, What Went Wrong? All week long, we've been bringing you these student-produced radio pieces from the post-industrial places project at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Students have been working on interviewing, recording, and editing these pieces throughout the semester. I've been working with them and guiding them. They come from four different classes. I've been working on this with them, and they're presenting it here on the air. They'll be presenting there tomorrow. We'll be talking to people from those communities to talk about what the future might bring. So without further ado, here's the fourth installment of our Stories of Deindustrialized Baltimore. This segment, What Went Wrong?
In the Sparrows Point and Baybrook communities, people's livelihoods were dependent on industry, which provided difficult but well-paying jobs. After World War II, industrial development began to slow down. Factories and plants around the area were downsized, moved away, or were shut down as people saw their lifeline being stripped away. A strained relationship with industry and government, combined with the deindustrialization of the area, has had a lasting effect on the communities. Next, you will hear the voices of people who lived in these communities and endured the struggle as they recount their memories of what went wrong.
Well, first of all, it created a lot of jobs and good paying jobs in those days.
Fairfield was very well populated. It was built up, but the shipyard during the war came in and took just about everything east of Weedon Avenue.
So everybody kind of went to work for the defense companies. The shipyard, it used to be the Union Iron and Metal Shipyard, became Bethlehem Steel of Fairfield. And they started building the Victory ships or the Liberty ships there. And then later it was the Victory ship. It was a little larger.
After the war, the people, like my group, we all started getting married, raising families, kind of drifted away from Curtis Bay. Some moved down Brooklyn Park or went to Glen Burnie and Linton. We moved up here, down Revere Beach. Things got separate now.
It was a combination. People started moving out, and like blockbusting used to happen. People would move out of that area, I guess, for a better life or whatever. And then in Fairfield, the next wave, not immigrants, but the next wave of people who could afford that came there, and then I guess they moved up into Curtis Bay. Then the stability, I think, changed, and people just started coming in, and there were more renters. I think the buildings started falling in disrepair. Most of the businesses moved out. Some of the original bar owners probably sold the bars to get out of there. Polish Hall just kind of fell apart.
So Farrell's Point provided a lucrative salary. It provided lucrative employment for me, and it allowed me to do the things that I wanted to do.
It afforded everybody who worked there a really good living, put a lot of people through college, bought a lot of homes, you know, did a lot of wonders for the economy, for the surrounding neighborhoods.
Some of the way that I knew it was coming to an end, we were having trouble getting raw material. We were having trouble getting parts that we ordered. Sometimes a tool would break and they would tell us, I can't buy a new tool, but if you go buy it and bring us the receipt, we'll reimburse you from petty cash. I mean, these are signs that, you know, when you have a steel mill that's pumping out hundreds of tons of steel and you can't buy parts, something's wrong. As Western Electric closed, General Motors closed, Bethlehem Steel, when the shipyard closed, I think we're talking somewhere around 7,000 or 8,000 jobs. The plate mill went down, followed by the Blooming Mill is the plate mill. That was probably another 7,000 or 8,000 jobs.
I felt like a lot of folks, especially those in management, kind of came through Bethlehem Steel and came through the Sparrows Point plant, and they raped it. They took all of the good resources out of it, and they used it for their gain, and then they ran away.
I blame the recent events on what's happened with our government. They saved the auto industry. They saved other industries, and a lot of corporations took advantage of the steel mills. And I don't blame the salary or the hourly people at the plant. Corporations did it. Nucor is a non-union facility up in the Pennsylvania area. They bid on and obtained the best piece of machinery we had at Sparrows Point, which was the coal sheet mill. They didn't obtain it to use it. They obtained it, in my mind, to hold it and shut this plant down. And that's what they did.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the whole smear that was something that was pretty well thought out, because they wanted to eliminate the steel operation down at Sparrows Point because of the pollution going up in the air. And what was that? That was lead. When you melted the metal and you did what you had to do to it, it created quite a stir within the communities.
But the city, they were trying to negotiate something. I think it wound up being a federal thing where they tore all the Fairfield houses down and all the Wagner's Point houses down. They relocated all those people.
Well, they did all they did most of all the tricks in the world to make them old folks, you know, sell their property and get out of it. And what they did to it, nothing. Nothing they did. That's right, nothing.
I think at the end, we forgot to fight. I mean, we forgot to pressure the politicians. We were silent, I mean, myself included. And it's hard to go to bed at night because you failed.
That mill provided an opportunity even for our children that we put through college, because that was a lifeline to an economy. It didn't just employ blue-collar workers. There were white-collar jobs in those manufacturing facilities as well. That mill provided the final death knell for us happened in 2006. The Bush Justice Department, when we didn't fight at that point, we were on life support and didn't realize it. Our manufacturing facilities around the country have been closing until it hits home. It's kind of a depression. It's a recession, rather. Our economic livelihoods depend on it.
Being hands-on type of workers was technology. And when computerization came in and these things came in, guess what? Management took a look at some operations and said, well, why do we need this? As the time went on with us, it was trying to adopt to the change from what a hands-on operation was versus the technology part of it. We lost our pensions, we lost our health coverage, and all any other benefits that was available for us.
Comments started getting bad and all that, you know. And that's the way it was, you know. And like I said, I call it God's country right there, because it was nice right there. It had right there, Fairfield had everything that you ever wanted in a small community. And everybody right there, they grew up and moved out in Fairfield. They thought they were going to rebuild, they ain't going to rebuild right there.
Are the Sparrows Point and Baybrook voices you have heard. Jack Burkett, Paula Fleming, Bill Goodman, Glenda Holman, Horton, John Jeffries, Donald Kellner, Michael Lewis, Leroy McClellan Sr., Chris McLaren, Milton, Bud Stoopy, Stanley Stoopy, Chris Pat Wells. To hear the first 3 days of the series, please visit the steinershow.org website and listen tomorrow for the concluding day in the series, which focuses on the possible futures in these historic industrial communities. Today's piece was produced by UMBC students Shardae Ham Alston, Tyler Spittle, Gianni Teckel, and Connor Williams.
And please consider joining us for an evening of food, music, silent auctions, raffles, and games to raise money for the Filbert Street Community Garden. The Filbert Street Community Garden is a conservation project, educational space, and food farm located in the Curtis Bay neighborhood of Baltimore. The gala will be held this Sunday, May 18th, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 2640 Space, which is located at 2640 St. Paul Street in Charles Village. Tickets can be purchased at the event or on missiontix.com.